Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, four verses. Why give your money to God? Why give your money at all? Two verbs have built two empires in the soul, Augustine said, to give and to get. A lot of us have one goal in life, to get all we can. Grab all the gusto you can get, our commercials say. Get what you can while you can. God says give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Why give your money to God? Luke 21, 1 says, Then he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty has put in all the livelihood that she had. Let's pray. Father, we ask that in these few moments you will help us to understand that our money and our commitment to you cannot be separated. That all we are and have belongs to you, and we are to be good stewards of it. Teach us, Lord, why we are to give to you and your work around the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Two mites, not much. Actually, it's the smallest bronze Jewish coin in distribution at the time. Its value, 1/8 of a cent. Or 1/64 of a denarius, which is one day's wage. Not worth much. Just a few minutes of employment time. Couldn't buy very much either. Lucky to get a loaf of bread. 2 lepta in Greek. That's all she gave. I learned 3 things from this story, and they are not the 3 points of the message. I'm just warming up. I learned that Jesus examines carefully what we give to him. The text says that he saw the woman do it. He examines carefully. I don't know what you're doing, and I'm not here to embarrass you or to shame you. I'm here to speak to you from the Bible, just like I have to be spoken to from the Bible. I need to be rebuked sometimes by the Bible, and so do you. The Bible is written for teaching, correction also. It's written for reproof also, as well as being taught. And sometimes we need to be reproved. A lot of us try to separate our finances from our commitment to God. It's easier to sing on Sunday morning than it is to give your money in the offering. And we try to separate that. We come up with little cliches. The church is always asking for money. You know, I've got an answer to that. Of course, that's what the Bible tells us to do. Money, money, money. That's all the church thinks about. No, it's not. But why did you say that? What protective screen do you need to protect your interest? My dear friends, what is wrong with us in money? Why do people always put down any message on money? Believe me, I hear about it. Like the man who said, I always preach on money. That was after I'd been here for 5 years. I looked back over my sermon outlines and realized I had talked about it on 3 occasions in 5 years. So I called him on the phone. I said, evidently you have only been here on 3 occasions. Which, by the way, was true. He had only come 3 times. And he says, but all 3 times I came, you spoke on money. I said, don't blame me. Blame the sovereignty of God. God evidently wanted you here to hear that message. So if you wound up coming today and you haven't had the brains enough yet to walk out, because it's going to get worse, let me tell you something. There's no way that you and I can separate our money from our commitment to God. If somebody told you that, you were lied to. What you have very much affects your commitment to the Lord. Why do you give to God? Listen, Jesus examines everything you do. He knows what you do. You might fool everybody else, but you've never fooled God. He knows everything you're doing. He knows what you got left. He knows about your bills. He knows how you've come up with this argument that I have more month than money. I cannot pay my bills. God expects me to pay my bills, and then if I have any left over, I will give to Him. That is not what the Bible teaches, so why are you arguing it? You didn't get it from the Bible. The devil, that's his thought. That isn't God's thought. Well, you don't know how I haven't had much lately, and I believe the Lord wants us to take care of our needs first. That isn't what the Bible says either. Whoever taught you that? We're so messed up on money, we can't stand anybody telling us what to do with our money. That's mine. We grew up as children saying about our toys, mine, mine, mine. And now, later in life, that's what we think. That's my money. I've seen more terrible things happen to people when the relative dies and the inheritance is distributed. Have you noticed that? I mean, even among good folks, money does something terrible to people. It just rips you apart, breaks relationships, and bad attitudes and bitterness can exist for years. It's amazing. And a lot of us haven't even thought about the future. We don't even want to think about it. Yet every one of us has an estate. It might be in the negative balance, but we got an estate. We're worth something, every one of us. And we haven't even made any plans in the case of our death. Yet it's an inevitable fact. 90,000 people in this country are going to die in the next hour. My friends, that's what's happening in life. That's life. Why should we give our money to God? Number one, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Why give your money to God? Communism has said for years that the state owns everything. Capitalism, with great pride and arrogance, says no, the individual owns it. Private ownership. But that's not the Christian view. The Christian view of stewardship is that neither the state nor the individual owns it. God owns it. Everything we have belongs to God. Everything that we are belongs to God. Your body belongs to God. Have you been using it for His glory? He says you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Everything you have belongs to God. Your ability to work comes from God. The job you have comes from God. Your time is a gift of God. It's all from God. And there's nothing that we have that we did not receive, says 1 Corinthians 4:7. It's all from the Lord, and we're to be good stewards of it. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. He's not broke, needing your money to help him get along this week. He owns it all. He's given some of it to you to manage, and he wants you to give it to his work in the world. Why? Number one is to honor him. Do you honor the Lord in your life? There's not a believer here who honors the Lord like God wants if you do not give of your financial resources to God. Not a one. Don't complain. Don't argue. Don't criticize me. When you go out, you criticize God, because that's what God said. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Not the leftovers, the first fruits. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Turn, please, to the book of Malachi. Or I like to say Malachi, the Italian prophet. Malachi in Hebrew. Turn to Malachi, please. And look at chapter 1. This is going to get a little convicting. So hang on. Why do we give our money to God? To honor God. That's what the Bible says. In Malachi 1:6, it says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? If I'm a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar. Hey, we'll eat the best stuff, but when it gets rotten and we can't eat it, let's just give it to the Lord. We say in English today, it's good enough for the missionaries. I just had this past week a lady volunteer furniture for the missionaries. And I saw it. It was a mess. Holes all over it, broken down. I looked at that stuff and I said, no, thank you. We're going to buy them the best stuff we can find. Hey, wait a minute. Has anybody ever talked to you about this? We've despised your name. How? You offered defiled stuff. That's what you did. Well, what way have we defiled you? You say the table of the Lord is contemptible. What God wants is kind of lightly to be treated. Why treat that with such importance? After all, if I have time, then maybe I'll recognize His work. Verse 8, when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? When you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors, so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled. Its fruit, its food is contemptible. Don't worry about it. You also say, oh, what a weariness. It's offering time again. And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring the stolen, the lame, the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and makes a vow but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. That whole text began in verse 6 with, if I am then the Father, where is my honor? Why do we give to the Lord? To honor His name. Do you honor the Lord? Is He number one in your life? Then we give the first fruits, the best stuff, not the leftovers. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Here's a story of a religious leader named Eli. He was a priest. And he actually honored his sons more than he honored the offerings of God. His sons, he didn't even discipline them. They became very immoral. They stole the offerings of the Lord. They were really corrupt kids. And 1 Samuel 2:29 says, why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering which I've commanded in my habitation, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Why do we give? To honor the Lord. I want to ask every single parent here, do you honor your children more than you honor God? I read that and I got convicted. I said, have I given more money to my kids than I've given to God? And then I watch what happens at inheritance time. Do we have folks who are giving money to the Lord's work? No, they're fighting it up among the kids. Kids who didn't do anything to earn it or deserve it. And they are going to be ruined by that gift, but we still do it. We have no regard for the Lord's work. Friends, you, most of you in this audience, could give more to God than you gave in your whole lifetime if your will said God first. It's amazing what could be done for the Lord's work alone. A lot of us don't even have a will. We're not expecting to die, but when we do, let me tell you, the government's going to take their share unless you, in fact, have a will protecting it. And you say, no, God's more important to me than government. I'm going to make sure that my money is going to go to the work of the Lord. Friends, we better be careful what we're doing here. Do you honor God? Why do we give our money to God? It's to honor Him. Number two, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Why do I give my money to God and His work around the world? Number two is to receive a heavenly reward. A heavenly reward. Many of us have labored in this life without earthly reward. Sometimes it comes by way of a thank you, an appreciation. Sometimes it's a gift. Sometimes it's something God blessed you with you never expected. But a lot of us could go through life like Job and get nothing most of our life. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. But I'll tell you, one day God will straighten it all out. There's going to be heavenly reward. Why do I give my money? For heavenly reward. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Obviously, our Father is going to reward us in heaven. Verse 2, therefore when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And a lot of you probably took time to think this through. Got your offering together, checked it out in the checking account, make sure you had the money, put it all in the envelope and organized it and came here. And you did good. God bless you. But God says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. Kind of an interesting problem. I thought about that one day in a minister's meeting. I was with a group of pastors, and they had a little small project they had to take care of. I think it was the food or something for the day. And they asked everybody to contribute a dollar. So they passed the hat around, and so I stuck my right hand into my pocket to pull out what I thought was a dollar bill, and I pulled it out, and it was a 20. You know, it's amazing. When you memorize the Word of God, the Word of God can drive you crazy. You'll think of verses when you don't want to hear them. And immediately, as I looked at that 20 in my right hand, figuring out how I could get change, because he only asked for a dollar, you know, and I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking of the passage, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. My left hand was ready to take it out and find something else. I mean, I couldn't believe it. The verses that come to your mind. And so I put that 20 in there, you know, out of sheer determination and conviction. You know the real reason? Couldn't find a dollar bill. So the 20 went in there. The guy next to me said, wasn't that a 20 you just put in there? Yes, yes. You know. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. Is that the way we are? Verse 4, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Is God going to reward you for what you've done? You bet. No cup of cold water given in his name will bypass that wonderful reward that's coming in the future. God knows. He is not unjust to forget your work or your labor of love that you've shown in ministering to the saints. Hebrews 6:10. God won't forget a thing that you've done. Number 3. Why do we give to God? Not only to honor God and receive a heavenly reward, but also to receive earthly blessing. Now be careful. There's a prosperity gospel out there that says you give a dollar to God and you get 10 back. Go back to the Italian prophet Malachi again. Malachi chapter 3. God does say, however, that he will bless us. It may come in ways you didn't expect, but God's going to bless you. And I'll try to explain the passage. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. Why do I give my money to God? To honor God, to receive a heavenly reward, and to receive earthly blessing. By the way, parents, teach your kids to give. You'll bless them the rest of their life. Kids, don't wait. Don't say, well, I'll wait till I get an income, a salary. Don't wait. Give now. I started when I was 10 years old. It's amazing what you can give to God if you trust God for it, and how he will bless your life because of it. In Malachi 3:8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, do you believe God's telling the truth there, or is he just putting a sign? Is God telling you the truth? Now, what is he talking about? All these tithes that come in the storehouse were providing food for the Levitical families who had no land and no food. All the people who served in the worship services of Israel. And there's lots of them. It's like supporting our pastors and missionaries today. And the Bible says, you bring all that stuff into the storehouse and leave it there, and then I'm going to open the windows of heaven. What's he talking about? He's talking about rain. He's going to bring rain so their crops are going to yield more than they ever dreamed. Simply because of what? Because they do what he says. They honor him. They bring the offering. They'll receive even earthly blessing. My friends, that is the truth. But a lot of us don't know it because our motive is wrong. If your motive is to give in order to get more money, you know, 29-cent stamp, to Reader's Digest, check it off, win $5 million. That is a good deal. Next week, another letter. You have now passed two stages. Oh, another 29-cent stamp. Good deal. Check it off. Amen. You know, I might even order one of their magazines just to show them I'm interested. Besides, it might influence them to give me the $5 million. So, here's another stamp, and I'll write out a little deal for $12, whatever, and get the book. Amen. You have now passed through an amazing amount of stages. There's only two other people in your entire town. Another 29-cent stamp. You know, that's a good deal, folks. I'm going to give them a 2-year subscription for how good they've been. Hey, folks, you know you're being conned. You know it, don't you? But you keep putting a blooming stamp on there and signing a little deal and turning it in. Why? You want to win what? $5 million. Why? Because you're going to give to the Lord's work, aren't you? Bless your little heart. You're going to give it all. You're not going to take a dime of it, are you? Are you kidding? Carnal creatures that we are. Why'd we even participate with it in the first place? What's the matter with us? Greed, covetousness, avarice. It can destroy our hearts. God wants you to give to Him. You will receive earthly blessing. Is this some sort of deal God makes? No. He knows the motive of your heart. Why are you doing it? To those who honor God, to those who are looking for heavenly reward. Guess what? God also blesses you materially here. God has done that. You say, wait a minute, I've gone through hard times. Listen, don't stop when you're in hard times. We've been in hard times, but we've never stopped our giving to the Lord. Never. And God in turn shows you how you can give. And it's amazing what God does. Something happened last week. God always gives me illustrations, it seems like. Last week, a guy had a need. I just went to the bank to get some money out. I had it in my pocket. And the guy seemed to be legitimate. I know I'm a sucker. But anyway, the guy had a need. And I gave him what was in my pocket. I couldn't believe I did it. I moped all the way back to the church. You know, if you say joy of the Lord, I'll hit you. I didn't have the joy of the Lord. I said, no, Dada, that was stupid. He probably ripped you off, you know, and you just got it out of the bank. Of course he was at the bank. I mean, what an idiot I am. You know, I come back, I am so ticked, you know, and I open the door of my office, and there's an envelope somebody stuck under the door. No name, nothing. I open it up, the exact cash I gave to that guy. Now I felt really convicted and bad. The same day, a lady on our property, an elderly lady, told me about her blessing. She said, I just gave $20 to help a person with the need they have, and I came to this church and one of your staff handed me $20, and I asked her why, and she said, I don't know, I just thought I'd give it to you. She said, I just gave the $20. I said, then maybe you ought to give it away again, see if it works again. And since I just lost what I lost, maybe you could give it to me, you know. Hey, look, you're not going to fool the Lord. Do you understand that? Quit kidding yourself. You're not fooling God. And once you get into your heart the joy of giving, this whole pressure goes away. It goes away, and it all of a sudden becomes fun and exciting. Hey, God's not going to desert you and leave you alone. You say, man, I'm going through hard times. That's when you ought to give. Learn to do it in hard times, and you will be doing it in good times. I find a lot of people, when they're being blessed materially, they keep waiting. Well, you know, I want to be sure that I get enough. And hey, are you kidding? Learn to make it a habit. Give the first fruits, the top of it, to God every single time. No matter whether you're being blessed materially or you are suffering. Learn to give to God. The poor widow, she had nothing. She was in poverty. And she gave all that she had. And it couldn't hardly buy a piece of bread. But God saw the heart, God saw the motive, and God said she gave more than all the rich men had put in the treasury. Be careful what you say. Number four, why do you give your money to God? To support those who preach the gospel. To support the work of the gospel. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, I'm for helping anybody and everybody, but I'll tell you, I have a real hesitancy to help any charitable organization that does not tell people how to go to heaven. I'm just telling you. I can give all my money to help somebody in their poverty and need, and if they go to hell, what have I done for them? That's why I don't support any missions, no matter how good they are, no matter how helpful they are to people, who do not preach the gospel. I'm not interested in it. And don't accuse me of not wanting to help people. We help people, but I'm going to help those agencies that are going to tell them the gospel. I stood one night at a rescue mission and heard a man criticize the rescue mission because they forced the men to listen to the gospel before they feed them and give them a place to stay. And I said, on the contrary, I say, praise the Lord, this is worth supporting. People are committed to preach the gospel. I don't believe in supporting missionary medical personnel who do not tell folks about the Savior. You heal up all their physical wounds, so what? They go whole into hell? Come on. The greatest need is a spiritual need in the heart of people. And we want to do all we can to help, but at the same time, the Bible teaches we're to support the gospel. That's what God wants us to do. To take as many men and women and boys and girls to heaven with us as we possibly can. I read in 1 Corinthians 9, quite an admonition, but look at verse 14 in the summary. Even so, the Lord has commanded, not suggested, commanded, that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. That's what it says. We are to support those. Romans 10 says, how can they hear without a preacher, but how can they preach unless they're sent? Romans 10, 13 to 15. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. We need to support the work of the gospel. Number 5, why should I give my money to God? Turn to James chapter 2. I not only give it to honor God, to receive a heavenly reward, to receive earthly blessing, to support those who preach the gospel, but to supply the needs of others. To supply the needs of others. Look at James chapter 2, please. Verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith, meaning that faith, literally the faith, save him? The faith that has no works? No. Saving faith saves you, obviously. But faith that has no works doesn't. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now folks, we have a problem in our society. Because of bad financial practices, people get in debt. Then they want us to help them get out of the debt. But the financial practices continue and they don't change. The Bible does not teach that we are to support those who are getting into debt and refuse to do anything about it. That is not taught in the Bible at all. It's those who are destitute of daily food, and we don't read it carefully. And there's a lot of charlatans around, a lot of people who won't manage their finances right. We live in a society that's geared towards debt. Young people, young couples, I warn you. You get a credit card, everybody sends it to you, and they say, you have an excellent credit rating, and you know you have nothing. And they offer you a credit card. We'll give you $2,000 line of credit. So you put up your credit card and you realize they're charging interest more than you're even putting back in to pay it off. It's getting worse and worse. But you can always get another credit card. One guy who doesn't even have a job has got 6 credit cards and they're all $2,000 limits. And he's got $12,000 in debts and he's driving a car that he's paying too much money for. And he didn't want to hear from me, sell your car, buy a junker, and cut up your cards and don't spend anything anymore. He didn't want to hear that. He wanted me to give him $12,000 to get out of debt so he'd be okay. I'm sorry, friends. We're going to talk turkey with ourselves. A lot of us are in trouble because we've not managed our money well. We have wanted this and we've wanted that, and we have not learned to do without and to trust the Lord. We instead use the credit card system, the debt society, to somehow accumulate the things that we supposedly need. After all, who can possibly exist without a CD? Amen? Everybody needs a VCR and a TV. Everybody knows that, right? Wrong. You need some bread, fine. But all this other junk, forget it. I tell you, our society needs to be healed financially. We need to be healed. And it is a serious problem. And you think the world out there that's given you that money, loaning it to you to get the interest, do you think they care? Are you kidding? Why, the interest alone they're making off of all of us in debt is worth it to them. Are you kidding? It's a profit-making business. Why are we doing it? To acquire things? To have what we think we need? Now, we're talking wants here, friends. But according to the Bible, we are to supply the true needs of people. And we are to care. And in all the charlatans out there, there are guys working the streets, some of whom make more money than a lot of people who give money to them. They're working the streets. They're charlatans. They know how to do it. And they're identifying with the homeless and the hungry. And they're putting on. And I've had to deal with some of them. And some of you have too. But let me tell you something. Don't let the charlatans out there fool you. Don't shut your heart of compassion up to the needs of people because of a few people who are ripping us off. The faith that really counts with God, the faith that is real, is a faith that cares. And here's a brother that hasn't any food to eat. And how can you say to him, be warmed and filled, just say the words, and not give him the bread that he needs to eat? Hey, that is not compassion. And we need to understand that. It's a very serious matter. Finally, why should we give our money to God? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We are not only to honor God and to receive a heavenly reward and to receive earthly blessing and to support those who preach the gospel and to supply the needs of others, but we are also to glorify God. When you give your money, you glorify God. You say, how does that work, David? 2 Corinthians 9. This is a wonderful chapter. Verse 7, great principle of how to give. God loves a cheerful giver. Verse 8, God will supply your need, make all grace abound. You'll have all sufficiency. But pick it up, please, at verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality. God wants you to be generous. That's why he's blessing you. Which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Details. Verse 12. The administration of this service, this offering, not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. I saw that happen this week. As I saw some missionaries who've been praying for a need, God used some people here in the church to meet their need in a way they never even dreamed. They didn't ask anybody, they just prayed for it. And I saw tears coming down their face as they said, man, glory to God. They were thanking the Lord for dear people who cared enough to give it. Maybe the folks who gave didn't even think much about it. It wasn't that much. Maybe they didn't think much about doing it, but God led them to do it. And because people were praying for it, and the people who received the blessing of it are praising the Lord. God gets glorified. God gets praised. God gets thanks. As we give to help the work of the gospel, what a blessing it is. I've put down four principles. I've preached on these before, but I use them in my thinking about giving. Maybe they'll help you, and I want to conclude with it. Here's what I say to myself about giving. What I have, God owns. Now, I got to keep thinking of that all the time. What I have, God owns. That affects everything I do and how I think. What I have, God owns. Number two, what I need, God supplies. Now, I have to believe that. I have to trust God for that. What I have, God owns, and what I need, God supplies. Third, what I give, God multiplies. I've watched that through the years. It's amazing. What I give, God multiplies. What a blessing it is. And finally, what I invest, God rewards. The Bible says, lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. I'm to lay up treasure in heaven, not on earth. What I invest, by laying up treasure in heaven, by my giving to God's work, God rewards. And that reward will come in the future. And I've never given anything to Him that He won't reward 100-fold, the Bible says, in the life to come. What I have, God owns. And what I need, God supplies. And what I give, God multiplies. And what I invest, God rewards. Let's close with prayer. Father, we cannot fool You. You know who we are, what we have, and how we operate. You know us all. And You know us well. And some of us cannot give of our financial resources because we've never given ourselves to you. And perhaps one of the most precious gifts of all is our time. And some of us spend very little time giving to you and your work around the world. And Lord, you told us in the Word that the Macedonian Christians were great examples of giving because they first gave themselves to the Lord. You told us to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. And some of us are struggling because we've never done that. We've never come to a conviction that we need to give ourselves to God and all that we are and have. God, help us. Help us to give to you out of hearts that want to honor you and glorify you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.